go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your grace in our lives. Help us as we look at these verses this morning to challenge us. For us to, as we really have taken the last 2 months and examined ourselves and where we are in the faith and how we have grown and how we haven't grown and where we need to grow. And Lord, help us to be real with ourselves, because we're not fooling you. We make all kind of excuses. We excuse ourselves from all kind of things. And we excuse those that we love. But Lord, there are standards that you want us to live by that we fail miserably in. Help us, Lord, to love you most, to be honest with ourselves and our loved ones, and to take the gospel to the world. Help us today as we look at these verses. Challenge us again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been having a discussion in our house over the last few days about lordship. Salvation really is what we've been discussing about, how people love the Lord, and they say they love the Lord and they say they're believers, but how there are shipwrecks all over, and how people can say, yeah, I'm a Christian, or yes, I believe in Jesus, but their lives don't add up. And so we've been talking about that, and talking about what this means, and loving the Lord most and following him and loving him more than you love anything else on this on the earth. Everything else. That if you lose everything, that you still have Jesus. And if you're stripped of everything, you still have Jesus. And is that enough? Is that sufficient? And, you know, there's not one person that's in hell right now that loves Jesus most. Not one. There are people in hell right now because they have put something, if not everything, above Jesus. But all it takes is putting one thing above Christ, right? Isn't that right? And so the question is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? As we were singing today, I thought, Lord, how many of our friends and family members really believe, and as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about, that God has given them over to delusion, that they really believe they are okay with the Lord. And y'all know, listen, we all have family members and friends that are in this boat. Y'all know. That God is, and God in Scripture says he's given them over to a strong delusion that they believe a lie. That's what it, read it, write it down. 2 Thessalonians, I see Gina writing it down. Chapter 2, verse 11, where God gives them over to their own delusions. And they think they're okay. And you know what's so sad? The American church today teaches them that they're okay. That, it kills me. Oh, you're okay. You love Jesus, you're okay. Well, Scripture says in James that the devil believes in Jesus. And we know the they're not saved. If you want that one, Galatians 1:8. Or is it James 1? I can't remember. I'll get back to you on that one. I'm second guessing myself now. It's James 1 or 2, 2:16. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, Gina. Galatians 1:8 is good too. That's the one where it says, if an angel comes and preaches to you a different gospel, do not believe him. So you need to write that one down also for your Mormon friends. I mean, it says it. If an angel comes and tells you a different gospel than what I've preached, do not believe it. I mean, if that doesn't sock a Mormon right in the nose, you know. So, a servant leader in the church. It's clear as we have gone through here that all that other was extra. It's clear as we've gone through these qualifications of elders and deacons and leaders that they're just great similarities. And the truth is, as we've gone through this, there's a core of qualities that all Christians, we should all look and go, we need to have this in our lives. Especially if you're a leader. It should be exhibited in your life. In this passage that we're going to look at this morning, that we're going to read verses 8 through 13, this passage can neither encourage or discourage God's people from reaching and saying, I need to reach out. I need to reach stand up to heights, to reach these heights. And the standards for deacons are by no means inferior to those of elders. Matter of fact, if you look at them, they're very similar. They're almost identical. There is, as I have pointed out before, in the elders list, it says that he should be able to teach. It doesn't mean that he has to be a good teacher, but he should be able to teach. And then in this passage, if you look at verse 9 that we're looking at, or that we'll read and look at today, it talks about that you should hold fast to the mysteries of the faith, which it doesn't specifically say that for the elders, but it's all there. These things are really the same. There's not a great difference. There's not a drop off in the standards. And really the truth is there shouldn't be a drop off for the standards for the Christian congregation as a whole. That's just being honest. That's just being truthful. These standards should apply to all of us. To all of us. The characteristic of being a Christian, and as we looked at, especially in January, as we went through the self-examining passages where we were challenging each other to look at our faith, and when I was saying, what does a mature Christian look like? And are you a mature Christian? Are you a mature believer? And what does that look like? Not by our opinions, but what the Word of God says is a mature believer. And as we go through this, and as we nominate elders and deacons for New Hope, it doesn't need to be based upon how much money somebody makes, how much we like them or dislike them. or how much they're friends, how much we need to say, you know, are these men ready to handle the Word of God correctly? Not their opinions, not what they think, but are they handling in the Word of God correctly? Can they do that? And so as we look at these qualifications, I'm not going to go into a lot of depth on these because we've already done a lot of these individual things. I'm going to give you five qualifications of a servant leader. Five easy things. And we're not going to dive because we've gone through almost every one of these things. There's one point that I'm going to make that was not made in the elders list, but we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to share with you. And I hope I clarify. There's one thing in here that I'm sure everyone here that has read this passage has thought, why is there so much confusion around it? I hope to clear that up for you today. So 5 points, the qualifications of a servant leader. The first one is in verse 8. Starts out with likewise, meaning it is connecting itself to the elders list. So they're saying, okay, likewise, just like this one, the one group that we have looked at, likewise, deacons are our servants must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, which are things we have all covered and looked at already from the first thing. Double-tongued, meaning saying one thing to one person and another thing to another person. Addiction, we don't need to... We talked about that, being above reproach, not being addicted to things in your life, not being a lover of money. You must have a check on these things. Not perfectly, but you must have a check for them. You must be able to hold them in and struggle through them, fight through them correctly. So that's the first point. You may be thinking, boy, he's already done with the first point. Just hold on. Point number two, a servant leader must have solid convictions, which is another thing we've already really delved into. But verse 9, it says, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. With a pure conscience. This man, this person, must be spiritual. He must have a strong convictions, and he's holding on to them. He's holding on to them. Holding on to what? Well, the truth. As many of you know, it's difficult when you get in other situations with friends, with colleagues at work, with people that you're around. Are you influenced? Do they push you to one side or another? Or do you hold on to the mysteries of the faith? Are you holding on to correct doctrine? And I'll be honest with you. It's hard, especially when you're around a bunch of believers. To not be moved back and forth, to say this is right and this is wrong. It's also hard to be around people that you were... Now, I'm not talking about those relatives that you don't... Well, I don't want to say that you don't love, because you love all your relatives, I hope. But that you don't really like to be around, okay? But what about those people in your family that you really do love and like to be around them? Are you moved? We talked about this in our last, in the qualifications of elders. Deacons are the same way. I'll tell you this, I'll say this right now. If you, as a man, And mothers, you need to listen to this too, and aunts and uncles, and especially grandparents. Are you willing to stand up and discipline your children no matter what? To say, this is wrong. I love you. I care about you. But this is wrong. And you may go down this road, but I'm not going down, and I'm not going to help you go down it. Can you do that? Can you do that? And we can do that and not be mean and hateful about it. We can do it with broken hearts, with tears flowing down our face. I got a text message just this weekend from a brother that said, hey, please pray for me. I had to sit my son down and tell him some very difficult things in his life that him and his mother and I are not going, we're not going down the road he's going. And I love him, but we're not going down that road. Please pray that God brings fruit through this conversation. That's a difficult thing to do. But can you do this? Can you hold the convictions and the mystery of the faith? And you may be struggling in your heart, but can you hold on to the gospel? And say with a pure conscience, as this is, says, that you're not guilty of your own conscience convicting you over what you have done or haven't done. Not perfectly. Do you remember? Do you remember what we discussed? We've been talking about this for 3 weeks. We're not talking about perfect men. As MacArthur said, if we had to all live up to this, no one would be eligible. Do you remember? Now, I truly believe that. But somebody who understands the mysteries of the faith and can hold it and hold on to it with a pure conscience. Number three, a servant leader must be tested and approved. Verse 10. But let those also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. We discussed this last time too, a man of purity. Don't put a man in leadership too soon. And you remember we discussed Paul, the Apostle Paul, and how and a lot of folks don't get this and they don't understand. But when the Apostle Paul, who knew Scripture, I mean he knew Scripture, and he came to know the Lord, he went 3 years. 3 years where he just spent time studying and restudying and three years. The scripture says he went 3 years before he met with Peter and James. And then, if you remember from last week, then he went another 11 years in one place. Yeah, he was doing ministry, but he went another 11 years. So the first 14 years of Paul's ministry, he didn't do a whole lot of teaching. And buddy, we see people that we think, man, the Lord's doing a lot of work, and we throw them in the leadership. And have they been approved? Have they had time to mature in the faith and be tested? Are they responsible leaders? You know, I hear this a lot, and you guys have heard this too. But it breaks my heart constantly to hear people in the world talk about deacons and elders and pastors and ministers who haven't been faithful to the gospel. And y'all know, y'all are probably thinking of people right now. People who they have put in leadership for whatever reason, and they have not been found faithful. Point number four. A servant leader, this is a little different point now, but a servant leader must be a man at New Hope Baptist Church. Now you may think, well, why did he say a man at New Hope Baptist Church? Well, let's read verse 11. It starts out again with a conjunction, likewise. Women must be reverent, not slanderers, not tempters, faithful in all things. So, why should leaders at New Hope be male? Now, I'm going to give you five reasons. Now, this I'm going to start out with you, and you're going to think, well, that's opposite of what you just said. Well, I haven't got to the next point, so just wait. I'm going to give you five reasons why I believe that this verse is talking about a separate category. Why it's in this passage of 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 13, it's talking about elders, deacons, and deaconesses. Okay? This is the reasons. Number one, the use of likewise in the Greek strongly suggests that he's talking about three groups here, with male elders and male deacons. There's female deacons. Now wait, before you gasp, let me explain this. There is no possessive pronoun that's connecting women with deacons. It doesn't say, as some interpret, their wives. There's not a possessive pronoun in the Greek that connects where it's talking about deacons and their wife, okay? There's no connection with this. There's three separate things. The third thing is this. Why would Paul, if there was a possessive conjunction with them, connection, pronoun, why would Paul give instructions to deacons' wives and qualifications to deacons' wives and not elders' wives? That doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't he do it for both? Let me keep going. The word deaconesses, because there's really no such word as deaconesses, the word is a male, it's a male form in the Greek language. It's deacon. But there's not a word to say deaconesses, okay? So they use the masculine form of that word for women. And if you look with me, I'm going to show you one passage. If you look with me in Romans chapter 16. Now, I know I'm muddying the waters now, but I'm about to clear it up for you. So just hang on. In Romans chapter 16, verse 1, it says this: I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a deacon of the church in Caesarea. Okay? And so people automatically go to that and go, see, there's deaconesses. We need to ordain women. And if you also look, there's another point. So five points I said in this one verse. If you look at reverent, not slanders, that are temperate, and faithful in all things, they're the same qualities as he's already listed for elders and deacons. So there's reasons to think that Paul was looking at this as three different bodies. Okay? Now I'm going to sum it up for you. You ready? Why do we have it written in our bylaws and constitution that we don't have women deacons? It's very simple. Number one, this verse right here is not clear. There's all kind of disagreements about this one verse. Okay? And there's no reason to fight over, is that a possessive pronoun, or it's in the masculine form? Are they talking about their wives? There's no reason to sit here and fight over. So first of all, it's not clear. Secondly, there's all kind of disagreement. Even in I'm talking about conservative circles. We're not talking about liberal circles, okay? They can do whatever they want. We're talking about disagreement in conservative circles. Number three, you ready? There are a whole bunch of other passages in Scripture which are more clear, way clear, about the roles of women and men in family and in church. I mean, just so clear you can't fight with it. I'm going to give you one because you're already right there on the page. If you look just a few verses before this, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, just a few, I mean, we're talking about 20 verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to read, okay? It says this, "I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the woman adorn herself in modest apparel with priority, thank y'all, and moderation, and not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for men, for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman," verse 11, "let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be silent." I mean, that's crystal clear. Verse 13, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness, with self-control." Okay. So how could this be in? Because he says this, and then he talks about the qualifications of elders and deacons. And if this is a third, what's the confusion? I'll tell you. Real simple. And I think John MacArthur nails this. I think he does it. I think Grace Community of Church does this so right. It's crazy how right it is. All right? And it's so simple. Here it is. You ready? Elders, men. Deacon, men. Deaconesses are what? Women. That teach whom? Women and children. And we can go back to Titus 2. You can go, listen, what does Titus 2 say? Do y'all should know Titus 2. Write it down if you don't. Older men should teach younger men. Older women should teach younger women. And it even tells you what to teach. And that this is the process. This is how the church is supposed to. And there shouldn't be any confusion about this. So why don't we have, if this is so right, why don't we have it as in our Constitution? This is why. Because we have men, elders, and men, deacons. And listen, we're not as large as Grace Community. Not that we have to be. But we're not as large as Grace Community. If you are a Bible, if you're a Sunday school teacher at John MacArthur's church, you are ordained as a deacon. Our deaconess. And he looks at this and he says, and we know that Christ had women that ministered around him, and that ministered to whom? Other women. It's so clear in Scripture, but we are in a position that there are other clearer passages. You read in 1 Corinthians 14, we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I told you to read Titus chapter 2. And also, don't forget about 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. Which I'll tell you, if you're a man, you don't want to read verse 7 very much. Because that you're on the hook, brother. So why don't we have it here at New Hope? Because there's a lot of disagreement and confusion. And in this, we know it teaches leadership of males in the church. And so we just, instead of having to fight over something that's not the gospel, we just are willing to say we'd rather have men as leaders. Last point, number 5, servant leaders must have a Christ-centered home, verse 12. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. Remember, not perfect, but Christ-centered. Are they Christ-centered? Do they have Christ-centered marriages? Do they have Christ-centered homes? Are we holding up the sanctity of family, the sanctity of marriage? Do we do whatever our leaders here at New Hope need to do, whatever they can do to push the sanctity of marriage? Amen? And we need that in our society today. We need leaders to stand up and say, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And women, submit to your husbands. We need men to not be afraid to use that word, submit. That's a bad word in our world today. Do y'all know that? Love your wife as Christ loved this church. Christ-centered homes, men that lead that don't have standards that change, that don't look and go, well, I'm going to find a loophole for this person and that person. I love my kids. I want y'all to know this, and you've heard me say this. I love my children. I will do anything for them. But if they choose to go in a direction that's opposing God, they are choosing to do that without their dad. I will not love them any less. I will always pray for them, but I will not help them in their sin. I will not do it. They are choosing to go in a way that's opposed to their father. Standards that don't change. I will do it with broken heart. I will do it with tears. I will do it with begging. But I will not follow them. I will only follow one, and it will be Jesus. And it will not matter how much their mother begs and pleads. I will look at Beth and say, I cannot go down this road, period. I don't know what that means and what that looks like, but there have been bumps along the way. If y'all don't know, there have been a lot of times that I have stood up in this pulpit with broken heart. But we need men that will stand up and love the truth more than they love their children, more than they love their wives, that they love Jesus most. And I'll be honest with you, isn't that what every wife wants, is a man who loves Jesus most? If we love Jesus most, man, if they're second to Jesus, wow! Right? We're small this morning. This is a small group. But if I were to go around, I know you men. If I were to go around and say, are you loving your wife like Jesus? Yeah, I know what every one of y'all would say. I'll answer, no, we're not. And even Kathy, who would say, well, Rick is. Rick would say, no, I'm not. I'm not. But I want to, right? I'm not, but I need to. I'm not, but I, man, could you imagine with this small number this morning, this small number, could you imagine if the men in this church said, okay, I'm going to love my wife like Christ loved the church. That is the gospel message. Christ-centered homes. And last, in closing, that was the 5 points, but this is closing. In closing, verse 13, which I think sums it up very well, says this: for those who have served well as servants, or deacons, or diaconess, attain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, I will tell you, faithful service, serving the Lord faithfully through the years, you see the quality of men in the depth of their faith. Because as you serve Jesus more and more, there's a sense that they obtain for themselves. I know that they say, basically, I know, even though their feelings may be going a different way, you can see them as they struggle through life going, I know if I follow Jesus, that's the best plan. And so they constantly make these same decisions going, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. No matter how much pain it brings, no matter how much hurt, I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen? And as they do that and serve, there's confidence that's built up in their lives. And they're able to share that confidence with younger men. I can't, y'all, you don't even know how many times these men here have talked to some of the young men and go, I know what you're struggling with now, but that's nothing. You trust Jesus, and I promise you, who regrets it? How many things have, as an older man, if we look back at life and go, all the decisions that we have made, is there one time in your life that you said, well, I followed Jesus in this point, but I wished I wouldn't have. Do you know what the regrets we have? Are the times that we look back and went, man, I missed that one. I wished I would have followed. Why? But we were young and dumb. That's the regrets in our life, and that should be our regrets, so that we could tell the younger men and younger women, the times in my life that I've regretted the most are the times that I didn't follow Jesus, right? And listen, y'all, I know Y'all are all thinking right now. Y'all are like, yep. There's that situation again. And even though God has redeemed it and brought us all through it, thank the Lord, we still regret those decisions. Yep, right there. And right here. And right here. And right here. And there's confidence that we're built up, that we look ahead and go, well, I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing this again. And down here, I'm not doing that again. Verse 13. For all of us to strive to be godly, to be like Jesus. Faith which is in Christ Jesus. All right, next week. Next week we start back in Isaiah. Woo, so bring your notebooks. All right, and we're going to and at the business meeting, we're going to pass out. We'll have elders and deacons nomination, and we'll have a whole month for y'all to nominate and list, and we're putting them in. I'll have a box ready for you to put it in, but I want to encourage you to take them home and pray over them and write down what God convicts you of. I love you guys. The Lord is blessing our church more than you could even imagine. And listen, we do have a motley crew. This is a church of the knuckleheads. The church of the lighter knots. Amen? But let's love Jesus most. Let's do it. Just love Him most. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your many blessings. Thank You for the gift of Your Word. And how even teaching on elders and deacons and how it should, how Your Word is so convicting and pierces the darkness and sin of our hearts, that we can be talking about deacon and elders and You still convict us about sin in our lives. Thank You for not leaving us to ourselves. For granting repentance. For encouraging us. Do this work. Lord, You call forth men at New Hope to lead us. Not perfect men, but passionate men. Men that love You more than anything, for Your honor and for Your glory. And from 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says this, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen."